And you might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John, and in chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord. Our Father and God, we thank you. We thank you that we have your word. We thank you that we can see and understand your word by way of your grace. So here we are looking, here we are assembled together as you would have us, that you would help us understand our relationship to you, to be able to exercise rightly that relationship, to be able to experience that relationship, to be able to enjoy that relationship. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. Spirit of God, we owe you. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise of 1 John, in verse 22, 23, 24, there's a wonderful, wonderful simplicity of putting together that unique relationship that we're to have and to enjoy with our Savior and Lord. So, when you received the Lord as your Savior, if you did, you understood that God has created you, body, soul, and spirit, and that God has made you different than animals, and that God put in your being a spirit because, as we shared in Sunday school, He is spirit and truth. And therefore, and Christ died to give us the relationship that was lost because of sin. And therefore, that relationship involves God who is spirit and truth. And we must worship Him in spirit and truth. So God takes our human spirit, different than animals and everything, and gives us a wonderful look. In other words, animals don't worship, they don't sing, they don't invent things. Humans do. Humans are made for God. So that little image, remember, that spiritual spirit, I should say, in your heart that you have, your body is housing you, and you are housing your spirit. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, God brings life to that spirit. He's spirit, the spirit of God. He and you come together. He and you come together because Christ died on the cross to make it possible. Otherwise, you're separate like this. When Christ died, He made it so you can connect like that. That's how you get saved. You received the wonderful saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and the Spirit of God's ministry, John chapter 3, 5, and 6. His ministry is to bring that wonderful, the reality of that relationship smack dab into your life. So, like we shared, the light bulb's wonderful, but the light bulb needs electricity. It needs to have light. The filament needs light. Light. Spirit in man is made for God. It needs God. When I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, He brings that His wonderful person into mine and makes it one. His spirit, my spirit, come together. And I have a relationship. I didn't have one. I have one to my physical body in my soul. But I don't have one to God. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, He brings that relationship to pass spiritually. And I become spiritually alive in a most wonderful way. Now, to be spiritually alive, I need to recognize something wonderful happened. God made us new creatures in Christ. All things have passed away. Everything becomes new. We're new. We're to walk in newness of life because of his death, burial, and resurrection. So we have a new, wonderful relationship to God that we're to exercise in a most wonderful way. We also have our old sin nature, our relationship to the first Adam and to this body in which we live in. And we have that old nature. And that's always there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never goes away. Never, 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 never. You wish it would, but it won't. Not until you die. You have to put away this body and thus that nature that's connected by way of the body to the grave. Dust to dust is where it has to go. So God, what are you going to do? We have a unique relationship. That unique relationship is uniquely to be practiced in a wonderful, simple, wonderful, wonderful way. And we shared repeatedly of late the branch, John 15:5, you have to abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And if I don't abide in you, and you don't abide in me, you can do nothing. If you abide, you'll bear much fruit. Without me, nothing. John 15:5. And we likened it, John 15. We say a vine, but easiest for us to understand. Think of a tree, bush, and the branch has to be connected. It's a wonderful thing, and we need to understand it in a very serious way if we're going to understand how to live. We're never going to experience on a daily basis, 24 hours a day, to enjoy God's wonderful saving grace in your heart and mind. You have to have an understanding. If you don't, you can't be. God does not honor stupidity or ignorance or unbelief. Unbelief. He doesn't honor that. So I need to understand it. So therefore, abiding in the branch, as you know, in the tree, enjoys the life of the tree. There is no life in the branch. I'm going down, it died. Going down. Dead branches can do that. If this was on the tree, it'd never fall behind the pulpit. Do you understand? It'd never fall. No matter what, no matter what the weather, it would just stay there, and we could talk to it and yell at it. It'll just stay and abide and enjoy the life of the tree, period. No other trees, no other life, just this life. As long as it's attached, abides without me. I am going to find my home, said God, in your heart. And you're going to find your home in my heart, said God. I am going to be in you, and you are going to be in Christ in me. A unique, awesome oneness. Oneness, spirit, a relationship, like the tree and the branch in the tree. So, having said that, so when you come over to 1 John, and you remember we shared together, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep those commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So God, here we are looking to you, going to ask, as we shared in John 15:14, as you read, ask, and do go back there just for a sec, just to lock it in. John chapter 14. And you will note, And John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So whatever you ask, you're going to receive. Whatever you ask, hang on, you're going to receive. That's a straight thing. Ask, receive. They go together. Verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. They go together. You can't ask without having. Whatever you ask in my name. And that isn't something that people say, that's crazy, because you can't ask anything you want in my name. If you're abiding, what are you doing? You're resting in my wonderful name, my awesome person, who I am. John 1:1, and the Word became flesh. John 1:1, and the Word was with God. The Word is God, was God, always is God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God is the Word. And he gives us his Word, the words that I speak unto you. John 5:39, they are spirit and they are life. The words that, John 6:39, the words that I speak unto you, they are mine. The Word, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify and bear witness of me. So the Bible in your hand, and the words came from God in the original languages, came from God. He gave us his Word. It's his Word. So if we take it, go to the Bible, we end up with him. And when we look to him, and we go to the Bible, his Word, the Word, his words. His words, the Word. It's a relationship. So when, and what's it, what's the relationship between the Word and the words, between the Word and the commandments? What's the relationship? God gave them. God says, honor my Word, / honor my commandments, what I tell you, what I ask of you. Honor me. Honor me by honoring my Word, a relationship. As you practice that, what are you doing? You aren't honoring the branch. You're honoring the tree. You're honoring the life of the tree. Where is the life of our Lord Jesus? In God, God in Christ, in us. The life is God's life in a most wonderful way. The life of the tree. It's the life. So what am I doing? I'm abiding in your Word. That's what I'm looking. Because your Word is coming from you, God. Your Word's coming from you to me. So I'm abiding. What am I resting in? I'm resting in your Word and the outworking of your Word. So the Word, as I abide, the words that you're saying and doing, all are yours. They all come of you. You know, over if you can, over to Matthew. Again, I'm repeating it again and again. Matthew 5. I'll get it, 5, 10, 15, 20. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And picking up, please, if you know it, just lock it in. Hammer the nail in tightly. Think verse 5:17, Matthew. Our Lord, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, the little marks in the Hebrew, not one Fail, not one word of God's word will fail. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth, one jot or one tittle shall no wise, absolutely no wise, in no way, pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. All that has been said by God in his word that needs to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ fulfills it. That's important. He fulfills. So when we come over to Romans again, and locking it in, and Romans in chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 2. 10:2. For I bear them, I'll have to read verse 1 for context. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is what? That they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For reason, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, where are we going to get this rightness? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's the end. He is the word. They're his words. We're looking at his words. And I look at his words. They're his. God is the word. I'm looking at his words. The branch, the life of the tree, the life of the vine comes in and flows. So the branch, what are we doing? We're living off of what God has done in Christ. God in Christ has brought, God in Christ has brought into your heart and into your head his unique provision for you. The law says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. God. So what are you going to do? You fulfill the law. So that helps us with Israel and trying to do our works. W-O-R-K-S. We've got to do something to get the favor of God. You have the favor of God because of the grace of God. Where do we get the grace of God? John 1:14 again. He is full of grace and truth. Christ brings to us. Christ is God's wonderful way to be gracious to us. God is going to provide. God can't do it. He had to die first on the cross and pay the penalty so that he could get to us. And he brings to us. He brings to the branch that's abiding. He brings to the branch himself in Christ. And he brings to us the law. He is the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Lock that in. Over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. We're going back to Romans, so hang on. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. And 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, and you'll remember, just to tie it together, all kinds of ways to say it, chapter 5, verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us on our behalf, in us in our stead, who knew no sin. Christ took our sin to Calvary's cross. He died in our place. Why? Verse 21, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't have any rightness. You bet your boots you don't. God has it. And you can't enjoy the life of God unless you're right. You can't do it. You're wrong. If you're not right, you're wrong. So therefore, God has become sin for us. Now, tie that together. Romans, back over to Romans. and in chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, remember what you're looking at. I need rightness. Chapter 4 and verse 5, all in the context. But I'll read verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if you're going to work your way, you fear you're going to deserve it, like Israel, all that you say God will do, that's works. But you can't do them. You can't do them. If you're going to do it by works, then it isn't by grace. God's a gift. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, N-O-T, him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, that's us, his faith is counted for righteousness. Christ becomes our righteousness. And when we believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, you brought in God's saving solution to your heart. And God brought in, I made it possible in Christ, because he puts you in, God hides you. God didn't just come into your heart. God put you in the middle of Christ, your righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Is the end of the law for righteousness? Believing, his faith is counted for righteousness. And in 1 Corinthians, picking up, if I may, chapter 1, as you would know, verse 2, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, not by works, not by anything you can do. You're out of it. No, he crucified you. That, verse 30, but of him, contrast, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth a boast, let him glory a boast in the Lord. It isn't about the branch. The branch has the leaves and the wonderful fruit. But the wonderful leaves and the wonderful fruit belong to the tree, belong to God. That's right. So therefore, here's the law. Where's the law? Keep the law. The law. Where am I keeping the law? But I don't keep the law. I can't keep the law. God has kept the law for me in Christ. And when I received him as my Savior, he is the law. The branch, Christ, is where is my righteousness that the law requires? The law requires righteousness, and your righteousness is in Christ Jesus in you. That's why you're right. That's why you're right. That's why you're saved. Where are you getting it? From the tree. The branch doesn't have it. Not by works of no flesh shall glory in his presence. No. So therefore, as we abide the law, the commandments, God's word, here it is, in front of you. And God, all of this word, from start to finish, all of that word, God is doing what? All of this word is your word, God, right? And God said, listen, all the words that you're reading and all the demands and everything, I, that's my word, said God. So God, just say, abide. Just abide. And I, God said, will be, I am to you, like the branch. I am to you, all the law. I am the law. Just abide. Rest, abide, dwell. Just thank you, abide. and you'll fulfill all the law. Not impossible. No, sir. No, sir. And you say, well, boy, 1 John 1:7, you have to turn there. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing. So we got God, we got our own nature, right? And none of us ever said we can fulfill the law. We can enjoy your righteousness in this body, sin, I got it, but God, the rightness, is what? Is the blood Jesus Christ shed on the cross took care of my sin. It paid the penalty. And the blood of Jesus Christ, as I eat lunch, as I go to bed, as whatever I do, is cleansing me from all sin. I didn't do any. All I'm doing is abiding, walking in the light as thou art in the light. And the law of God is being fulfilled perfectly. Perfectly. There's no other way to do it. He fulfills it. He is the fulfillment. He, say it better, it isn't about the law. It's about having righteousness. And out of the tree provides all of the righteousness that the law demands. The tree also provides all the love that God commands, all the life. All the life of God provides the love of God and the law of God. And all I had to do, have to do, is abide, simply abide, and receive. All that you ask, you'll keep receiving. You cannot stay attached to the tree. And you're asking what? The word asking has to do with the desire of the will. God, when things come up, God, I want your will to be outworked. I'm abiding. I'm asking. And you can't ask without having it. You can't have the life without the love. You can't have life without the law and without the love. You got them all. So God, if I'm abiding and asking and desiring your will, and you will, God, John 12, verse 50, your will. It's a relationship. John 12. And in John chapter 12, I said John 12. Go to Matthew. Chapter 12. It may not be Matthew either. And if I don't do it again, I won't do it again. Matthew chapter 12. I'm picking up if I may. Chapter 12, verse 50. Remember they asked about his family, and he swung his hand around and said, my family, your family's at the door, knocking at the door. And Jesus said, no, my family, that they need to be saved. My mother and brothers, half-brothers and half-sisters have to be saved. But, chapter 12, Matthew, verse 48, but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For reason, whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. We're family. You're a son in the Son of God. That's what God has done for you, made you a son. In the Son. Family. And to lock that in, we're off a bit. So, but Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2. And if I may. And picking up if I can. In verse chapter 2, Hebrews verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For he went to the cross to make a relationship possible. For, verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Christ died on the cross and made it possible. He separated himself, sanctified himself. He bore our sin in his own body in the tree, so that we in Christ are sanctified and set apart, so that what? We're family. We're brethren. 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 Oneness. Unique. A vine and the branch. You enjoy the life of God in totality. You don't make it. You don't make the law. You don't make the love. It's his wonderful person, full of love, full of law. Therefore, I know it wandered a bit, but you got a little bit. I'm trying to get you to, I'm going to read it now. All of it. 1, 2, 3, 4. God says it in the most wonderful way. He tells you a truth which we've been trying to explain. 1 John. First John in chapter 3, picking up if I may. First John chapter 3. Now, you know, we haven't looked at this area. Verse 22, and whatsoever you ask, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. That's right, you cannot ask without receiving. That's just the way it is. It's a wonderful thing. Positive. It's a relationship. If I ask anything, to God, looking for God's will, outworked as I abide, and you abide, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. I'm asking. I'm not asking for my will. I'm asking for God. We're asking for God's will to be outworked in our life. That's what God wants to do. That's what God died on the cross to make possible. So therefore, verse 22, for whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. Well, how are we going to keep his, hang on, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, you slide. So God, if I was a Jew, make believe I'm a Jew and I don't read the next verse. All right, I got to keep the commandments. That's what we're doing. We keep the law, all that you say, God, we're going to do. We try to keep the commandments. We don't do very good, God, but we got a Torah, we got the Mishnah, we got the Grimma, we got all those different things. We got them, we try to do the law and Sabbath, and we try to do everything, and we read and have a hat and do everything. We got it. We got it, God. No, you know, got it. And God's going to help you so you don't follow the same dumb suit. Same dumb way. You're going to go, well, God, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to keep that. And God bless you. Let's see you keep it. Let's see you do it. See, you're going to say you're going to keep it. I'll give you all kinds of commands. Let's see you do them. You can't do them. You don't even think of doing them because you know you can't do them. That's why you don't even read it that way. So why? What are you saying, God? Well, because God, you're going to go. Verse 23. And this. Now remember now what you read in Matthew 22, the first commandment, 22:38. All the first four commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. The next ones, 12 through 17. Read the next commandments. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is all the law. All the law. All the judgments, all the ordinances, everything is there. And it is all answered in Christ, by Christ, in you. That's why you have it. It's nothing to do with you, nothing to do with me. That's why you say thank you. It's nothing to do with you. It never was and never will be. Ever. That's always him. We don't have that much out there. So now, having said that, verse 23, and this is commandment. This is the commandment, the whole package of them, singular. And this is the commandment keep my commandments, verse 22. Now verse 23, well, what are the commandments? God, name them one by one. Name the commandments. And this is the commandment of verse 23, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, all that he is, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, God in Christ, our wonderful, wonderful Savior and Lord. And this is a commandment that what? We believe. You remember in John 6:8, they said, what can we do to work the works of God? And the Lord Jesus said, believe me. Not keep on beliefs, lots of things. No, just believe who I am. I'm the tree vine. Abide. I am everything you'll ever need, ever, forever. I am to you life. And I fulfill. And I bring to you, you have to have life to enjoy the law. I bring to you the law. And I bring to you the love in my Son. And you always have it. So as you abide, you're never without the love and you're never without the law, ever. So believe. That summed up the whole ball game. I'll keep going a little more. What else? You just said it. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on him. That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, all that he is. The Word become flesh and dwelt among us. He's God, mighty God, awesome God. And love one another as he gave his commandment. So I'm trying to keep all these commandments. And you tell me two things, God, right? Two things sum it up. Believe and love. Now, where am I going to do that? I'm going to rest in you, God. All you ask is for me to believe. 21 chapters of John. Believe. That's what I want you to do. Believe me. The relationship. It's awful simple. Yes, it is. If it wasn't, you and I wouldn't stand up. We could never make it. Be stupid. God made it wonderfully real. Otherwise, it's unreal. And we got lots of religions, lots of denominations, lots of everything, everyone trying to do different ways to call on, talk about God, talk about the Bible, talk about heaven, whatever. Do it. But abide, and you'll show life, wonderful life. Just believe me. When you're believing, you'll be receiving, and you'll receive righteousness. Not yours, it's mine, said God. And the love that I'm looking for is my love. I love you. And when I love you, John, 1 John 4:19, that you'll be loving me. You'll love to be loved. You'll love being loved. And I do when you do. I love being loved. I love it. No offense to Jeanette or anybody. I want God's love. That's what I want. That makes everything else work. So therefore, that's it. Simple, isn't it? Believe, abide, And I'll give you the life and love that you need. I'll give you the law. That's all you got to do. Just abide. Like the trees. And they don't care about the weather. The branch just abides. So therefore, verse 24. I know you're getting it. In verse 24. You're catching it. Verse 20. And he that keepeth his commandments, he that keepeth his commandments, to keep watch, to observe attentively, he that keepeth his commandments and is watching attentively, commandments, he that's keeping them, what do you mean keeping them? Verse 23, believing and loving. That's what you're going to do. Keep on abiding. Keep on abiding. And you'll keep on receiving. Simple, simple, simple. Verse 24, he that observes attentively, keepeth his commandments, dwells, there's the word abide to dwell, yeah, in Christ. And I'll do it a different way. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, God the Father, and he, God the Father, in the believing heart, in Christ. God in Christ in the heart, you in God, and you in Christ in God, a relationship. God dwelleth in him. God, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, the Father, and he, the Father, in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And God, in his wonderful, wonderful grace, does what he does because he does it. And it's all something he just did. And all you got to do sums up the whole ball of wax when you're all done. When you're done. And you start enjoying exercise, experience, enjoy truth. Enjoy the weather by abiding. Enjoy the problems by abiding. Enjoy going to work, school, and pain, headache, heartache. Hang in there and abide. And so that all the time the world is, and you're in the world, and the body is taking place at the very same moment in your old nature, God in you, you're enjoying the life of God, a person, not a thing, a person in your life in a wonderful, wonderful way. And that's what you're doing, letting God be God. God the Father says, I came to you so you can call me. No man said, Lord Jesus, John 16, and that. You won't talk to me anymore. Because of me, you'll talk to the Father and ask him whatever. Ask the Father. He said, listen, the Father dwells in you and you dwell in him as a son. And abide, simply abide and rest. Otherwise, you can't do it. God has to do it in his most wonderful way. And God has done it in any way that honors him. Now, and you're getting it. You'd never know it out there in the world, in churches. We never hear it. We don't think about it. It's stupid. Just abide. The branches out there, and it could rain or snow. The branches don't care, do they? The branches don't care. And they already see spring coming. And they're quite content because they just abide. That's all they do. That's all they have to do. And they don't care about what anyone says or anyone. They just abide. So God, what are we supposed to do? Just abide. Just abide. That's all. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter. It makes sense. It does make sense. Because that's, if you were a tree, bushes, a flower person, what do you know? That when you connect, the trees grow, fruits grow, trees, and trees make leaves and fruits. That's what they do. And it's not, it's not, we understand it. Us humans, we understand it. Then why don't you understand when I tell you, you are to abide in me like the branch abides in the tree. You abide in me like that. For without me, you can do nothing. Zero. 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 Closing. Romans. We didn't get very far. I'm trying to get you to get it together, to see it. If you don't see it, you can't even practice it if you don't understand it. How are you going to practice abiding if you don't even understand it? Over to Romans chapter 5. And you recall what we read in 1 John 3 and 24. And the Spirit of God makes all of it real. Hang on to that, underline. Who makes it real? I don't make it real. And you don't make it real. All that we've just been talking about, abiding, law, love, life. I don't make it real. I don't have it. Neither do you. He does. So when I received him as my Savior, it's all safely in him. I can't louse it up. I can't louse up love and law and life. I can't mess it up. If you give it in my hands, boy, I'll mess it up. God didn't give it to me. He said, reckon yourself, Romans 6, 11, what? Dead. 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 Don't even bother with it. Just enjoy it. Don't fight it. Don't play with it. Just enjoy it. Now, how am I going to enjoy it? You're going to learn to. Chapter 5, Romans. If I can, verse 2. In whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, pressure, squeezings, oppression. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load. And patience, verse 4, bearing up under the load, produces experience. You keep turning the car key on, the door key to the house, and you're very confident. The key opens the door. You don't even have to think about it. You don't have to think now, how does this work? You just stick the key in and do it. You just do it. You open the refrigerator door. You open it every now and then. You open it, and you open the door. There's the whatever's in there, and you open the door. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to think about it. If I stand in my kitchen, I say, what is that? I think it's not the refrigerator or the stove. Is that the refrigerator or stove? I think it's the refrigerator. What do you do with a refrigerator? Well, refrigerator puts stuff in it. There must be doors. See, I'm thinking it through. No, I don't think it through. I just walk by and open the door and see and pull out. I just do it. Experience. You learn to abide. You abide now. You could, right now. And then you abide when you get in the car. And then you abide tonight. What are you learning? To abide. And you'll be conscious of it. You're conscious of it. Maybe only once a day. Maybe only once a week. You're conscious of it. But then pretty soon it catches on. And you're just doing it all the time. You're just abiding. Just plain old abiding. Just like I breathe. God's doing what he does in us. We have physical life. We have spiritual life. That's what we do. We just have it. And therefore, verse 4, experience, hope, expectancy, anticipation, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why is that? Because we're expecting the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If you read back over to John 3 and 24, that's what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God is loving you. Where am I going to get that love? I don't have any love to give. God is loving us. And where am I getting it? God, the Spirit of God's ministry is to help us understand we're being loved. We're abiding. And God's outworking His wonderful will in His awesome, awesome, awesome way. And that's what God does. That's what it means to be saved. Otherwise, we're just religious Christians, Protestants, fundamentalists. We're religious fundamentalists. That's what I don't want to be, a religious fundamentalist. I want to be a believer that's enjoying abiding. I want to enjoy the life of Christ in me so that I can enjoy my life in God. I abide. God makes it all happen. And the Spirit of God's ministry right now, it makes it all real. And your heart is beating, and all your systems are working, giving you physical life right now. And you don't feel it necessarily. You don't even know it. But it's real, isn't it? And what God is doing is just as real, and you can't feel it. It's just as real. And you are, what do you have to do? Believe me. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. Just believe me. I believe my heart's wanting, doing whatever. It's doing it. I don't feel it or anything. But I know it's doing it. God has given me a unique relationship to Him in Christ Jesus. And I'm just to know it. And thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you very much. Spirit of God, thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to help us understand a little bit as we try. God, if you made it, if you ever do it like we do it, God, it'd never work. So God, you have to do it like you do it, like you did it on Calvary's cross to save us and to give us an awesome relationship, to just enjoy it. Enjoy a wonderful person. Thank you very much. Just thank you. In Christ's name, amen.